as he'll say in passing, you'll hear it every now and then back there. Bob, well, of course, you've gone way past McLuhan. And I'm there, yep, that's right. And, you know, he's just confirming. But I knew it, and Nelson Thal knew it. Dave Neufeld knew it. A few people knew it, usually Club 22 members in Toronto. But the other ridiculous people who teach it, they don't get it. They don't understand. But they don't. They
he
never
really,
read McLuhan. They don't have.
Really,
let me say this. Nelson Thal, Dave Neufeld, a few other people, they had the advantage of me teaching them about McLuhan in the 80s. See, I get you. I point out, like I did with Katie Thomas, I went right to the point. The phonetic alphabet is what makes the difference. And she you know, probably got a little bit. There's many McLuhanite professors don't even know that fact. They don't even know. They haven't read enough. So I'm somebody
who really is a big deal.
Yeah.
He really is a big deal. That's how you opened your interview with Hillary. And you really are.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm so indifferent whether they appreciate it or not. I joke with it. I create humor for history, you know. People 100 years are going to laugh. Look at Bob. He's talking to this uber feminist. And he's telling her he's a big deal purposely as an effect, as an actor, as a play right there. That's what I'm playing to the audience that will hear this in 100 years.
I will laugh forever. I will laugh forever over that. Well, you know, I really am a big deal.
I know. That was going to be my first line. Whenever I talked to Bob, I was going to go, "Hey, Bob, you know, I really am a big deal."
Yeah, that was it. And I would go, "You fucking, you, no way you are a fucking big deal, Trita." I'd up the ante immediately.
There are a lot of big deals.
With me. I'd go, "Don't fuck with me, Trita. You fucking back off. Now you retract that statement." So what?
Big deals.
Ken Hudson is number, just get this right, I'm looking for it. Ken Hudson, is he 22, you're thinking? No, he is 26. Ken Hudson is number 26. Okay? You want to check that one up first? And Marsha McLuhan and Corinne, that's the first time Corinne comes in. So Zen Woman, you might do number 26 first.
Oh, do number 20, that session first, number 26.
Yeah, that's the one
all
Ginny's
right.
Recommending. So that was Trina talking there, right? I assumed that was
No,
Trina.
That was me. That was me when I said when I first talked to you, I was going to call in and say, "I'm a big fucking deal."
Oh, is that Zen Woman?
Yes, that was me.
Well, see, I say I represent... I represent the last patriarch, or I represent the energies of men, and I'm so cool that the women will actually realize this one fucking guy we have not gotten rid of yet. We've gotten rid of everybody else, and so you come around, okay, Mr. Smarty, what is it? And so I represent and save the men's energy archetype, whatever it is, and that's what you're up against. I am the last man standing. And I've been hanging out spying on Carol, and I know what the feminine energy is. And you guys, you don't pay attention to men, but I'm so cool. You guys are forced to pay attention to me.
And the only way you're cool is because you're with me. Everybody knows
that's right.
Your puppet master.
That's right.
And
is
I
that
control
Carolyn?
You.
Yes, that's
is
Carolyn.
Is that Carolyn?
Yeah.
I just love Carolyn. If it wasn't for Carolyn, I might not have been able to hang in this long. You know what? Bringing me back over from 2010, when I would bounce in and out all these years, Carolyn was usually what brought me back, because I'd go, you know, there's a guy, the guy's got to have something going for him if Carolyn's hanging in the
room. That's right. And you know, that's what she was just saying, Zen Woman. That's what she's just saying. She knows, you were just saying that statement. She knows that the only reason I pull it off is that I'm connected to her.
Well, Bob, I think that's a really interesting thing that Ion would do, and that is an Ionic pattern, is Ion would point out the powerful woman and the woman's role, just like he did with Corinne McLuhan, just like he did with Marie Henrietta, just like he always talked about the Russian woman who really was involved with Western space, that... Who's that electric inventor guy? What's his name? What's that guy?
Tesla.
Yeah. Nikola Tesla.
Ion was very good about calling out the feminine role behind the guy and bringing that into balance. So I thought that was a very interesting thing that Ion chose to do, because they didn't have to go that way with it.
That's right. But no, but it's the fact. He had to go that way. That was the fact.
Yeah, that was the fact. That's right.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Well, Ian's very smart. Ian's very smart.
Well, I got to congratulate Carolyn and meet Bart and some of my favorite people here. And of course, Bob, right there with everybody. You are you are super great, but it's just hard for somebody to hear that when they don't really know why. You know, like when you say, I'm the greatest thing ever, you know, and they don't really know.
Yeah, because immediately the dynamic is set up, well, no, how can you be great? If you're great, that means I'm not so great. So people right away get defensive and try to say how great they are, and that's not the point. Or it is kind of the probing point of Bob, just to wake people up. It's all about waking people up.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get off for now, but you know what? I'm going to pick a time and call in probably some late night time to get into some JW stuff. But
over the next few days, you mean?
Yeah.
No, that's no problem.
We'll get into that part. But anyway,
I love talking about JW.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll get into the whole rigmarole. But the
congratulations.
What you're doing is great. Congratulations. Love it. I'm going to be in and out, but it's been wonderful, and I wish you the best.
Okay, well, nice to meet you.
Yes, nice to meet all you guys. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Great, thank you. Hey, Bob, you're in this, like, the 63rd, 64th hour, and the halfway mark is 61 hours, so you're past the halfway mark.
Yeah, but I'm probably going to go 144 hours, depending on whether Bill survives, you know.
Okay. All righty.
I mean, there's. I'm getting used to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll just stay here and go for the next 2 weeks or something. Keep going.
Are you honestly going through Friday?
I might. Yeah. It depends on Bill.
Yeah.
And it also means it depends on capital Bill and the small B Bill. We have to pay for this.
Well, are you going to? What's Phil doing about the regularly scheduled guests at Achieve Radio? Are they just coming on to be your guests, or what's he doing about those guys?
The guests that are scheduled by Matthew?
No.
No. The people like Sherry and Sarah and Hillary.
Oh,
Rachel,
I think he's told them to take the week off.
He really did.
Yeah.
Is Dr. Dean's show going to be?
Yes, it's going to be part of it. It's going to be part of it, yeah. And if
you're on the Dr. Dean show.
Yeah, and if we go through Wednesday, Ginny's show will be on Wednesday.
Yeah, you'll have to be on the Wednesday show now.
That's right. Yeah, you'll finally get me on your show.
Isn't there a Tuesday show also?
No.
Not yet.
That's going to be Lynn's show.
Lynn's going to do it after Thanksgiving, she said.
Now, here's an aesthetically interesting thing. I'm looking at Ed Long's Radio Ion, and you look at there's 24 parts listed there. It's really neat. Take a look at November 23rd, November 24th. You had 24 parts strung out there. Do you see what I mean?
It's crazy.
Yeah. And on the 26th of November, like 16th of November goes into the 17th, but he actually separated out November 22nd and made it technically just those 6 hours up to midnight. And then he adds all the, November 23rd becomes 24. And November 24th has 21 at this point. It'll become 24, but look at that. Pretty neat. So, I want to go to part two. Some of you may have missed the incredible first Evergreen session. You missed that, didn't you, Ginny?
No, I was listening, Bob. Was listening.
It's very interesting. You know, it's not too great sound quality, but it's the beginning. The big charisma was I heard him being interviewed on the radio, and he said, well, man, you can do this by phone? That was the big breakthrough. You could have a private
Bob.
Session by phone.
Bob, I'm going into a no-phone zone, but I did call him just to make sure you knew. You have scheduled guests today.
Yes, at what time? 8 o'clock? My time at 8?
Yeah, starting 1 o'clock.
So that would be 7 o'clock. No, 8 o'clock, right.
8 o'clock, your time. You've met, yeah, and now you do have. Okay, good.
Yeah, no, I'm aware of that, and Bill will point it out. And then once these guests are over, no more guests. I've got lots of other stuff to do on, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday.
That's right. That's right.
All right, so I'm going to go. Are you staying here?
I am staying, but I'm just going to be on mute.
Right, so I'm going to, unless somebody wants to say something, I want to go to the next, to December 6, 1980. So does anybody have anything to say before we do that?
Let her rip.
Okay. That's what you're really only here for anyways.
I'm here to engage.
I know, yeah.
I'm here for everything.
How come you're not at work?
I don't have a working job at the moment.
Oh, okay. All right, so I've got
great chatting, guys. I have to go prepare for a lawyer appointment. So it's been 3 days. I better, like, get my head out of you, Bob.
I have been in you, and you have been in me. Now turn over. I'm going back in again.
No, take it out, Bob. Take it all out.
Yeah, take it all out.
I've just shared your site on StumbleUpon. Hopefully it'll get to at least about 5 people.
And
all right, Robert, that's good. Thank you.
Whole network? Is it the whole
network? Because once 5 people like it, then it'll be there forever then, and people will always catch it.
Well, I appreciate that. You've finally done something useful for Bart.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Robert.
I'm going to go to the 43-minute mark of December 6, 1980. That's the beginning point. So, December 6th.
Dear the Greens, a session through Michael Blake Reed.
All right, the 43. Don't you guys enjoy my mumblings of this? You guys appreciate that, right?
It's comforting.
Yes, that there's not total silence. Okay, 43, 41. And, in this early Evergreens, you will hear many times, Vroot. You'll hear Evergreens telling a sentence, stating a sentence, and it'll interrupt with a Vroot, Vroot. That's because it was not controlled yet. That diminishes over the years, but it's probably hard to understand or hear, like the first time as you're listening today. So this will continue in the second session, December 6th, so 43-41. Okay, here we go. Sound is up. There.
Next question is, Frank Zappa is a musician with considerable influence in the pop music world.
I forgot to mute you guys. Sorry. Must mute you.
All participants are now muted.
They do not use these.
Okay, 10 seconds.
My next question is, Frank Zappa is a musician who has considerable influence in the pop music world. In his association with Don Van Vliet, when they were in their teens and early 20s, did Don Van Vliet have quite an intellectual influence on Frank Zappa's ideas?
Yes, we can.
In Lancaster, California, Lancaster, North 10th Street East, number 800, suite 45?
Street number is 45,800. It's Briarwood Mobile Home Estate. It's a mobile home, trailer court.
Okay.
In Lancaster.
Lancaster, California, North 10th Street East. number 45,800.
Trailer number 74.
Barwood Park trailer?
Yeah, Barwood Mobile Home Court. And it's trailer number 74.
And the individual's name?
Dr. Don Van Vliet. And he's age...
39. Known properly as Captain Beefheart.
Yes, we have this one, yes.
And Frank Zappa in Los Angeles. Laurel Canyon. Woodrow Wilson Drive. Number 7885. Frank Zappa. And he is age 40 this month.
Yes, we have this one. Well, and considerable good influence, yes. This has been commented upon before.
By who?
He has this.
Yes, not to me or by you in our conversation. You mean by other individuals? Yes.
Well, it is noted into the methodology of approach. Yes, there's been an influence.
Well, is it a very large influence in Frank Zappa's career?
Not as great as some would believe.
What would be more of an influence in Zappa's career and his musical ideas?
Major Monster, take over.
Well, if you look closely, you see that much of the influence is the Baroque period of music. Well, the individual have a good sense of musicology. This individual has began to move into his next stage of musical state. And you will see that this will be surprisingly melodious.
Will he be conducting other orchestras more?
More of this, yes.
Including his own band.
Indeed so. But that itself, is changing itself.
Okay. Anything else you would say about that?
Basically, no. The re-influence is there. But the individual Zappa himself, is changing so much. This individual move into a greater period of brilliance would be the best description.
You said he was changing very much.
Very much indeed, yes.
Okay. My next question is about the book Finnegan's Wake, written by James Joyce. Now, Marshall McLuhan has commented on this exegetically in explanation of the ideas of James Joyce and what his purpose was in writing the book. Are these ideas accurate?
Yes.
Was Joyce one of the first individuals to pursue the study of the effects of media?
Seeing how media affected an individual's reaction to media itself, and finding an interactiveness, Joyce was one of the first few, not the first, but one of the first few.
Who was the first?
Certain Russian writers were first in this, you see. There is references to media effect in certain Greek writings. But to the more modern age, you'll find that Joyce one of the first. Now take McLuhan's findings and look into other writers, and you find that it become a trend, you see. Look towards Norman Mailer, and you'll see that this is very true.
Is Norman Mailer influenced considerably by Marshall McLuhan's writings?
Not that he is influenced by his writings, but that he is influenced by media.
Could you name a few Russian writers
To the basis, you look to Dostoevsky.
I see. And by Greek writers, you mean 3,000-4,000 years ago?
To the early Greek writers, yes.
Yeah, B.C.
Some, yes.
Yeah. Did Joyce perceive the effects of television and try to communicate this in Finnegan's Wake?
Now, well, it was more towards the influence of film than television, but it can be still applied to any media that involve more and more of the senses and begin to feed upon itself.
What did Joyce mean by his phrase on page 52? Telephony, no, television kills telephony in Brothers Broil.
In that, where there is any media that involves more senses than a previous media, then the previous media would separate. It separates those who prefer the newer media and those who would prefer the older media. Those who would prefer the newer media are invariably individuals that by necessity require more breadth in the senses themselves. That is, those that would work towards the older media would have a sense of distrust of a new media that does involve more of the senses. And there is the division, you see.
Is Marsh McLuhan's analysis of the Ten Thunders in Finnegan's Wake accurate?
More or less.
These were meant, as McLuhan perceives Joyce said.
Yes.
Joyce meant these Ten Thunders to refer to individual media.
To individual effects of media.
Effects.
Yes. Now realize that media itself would cause the production of media. The way that is media, let us say book, that media push to itself another media that can be best described as fast book. Because a fast book would have more of the senses involved. And the faster, the more senses are needed as the word becomes less and less of value. Experience, instantaneous experience, is the ultimate media. Therefore, media itself will reach towards a methodology of imparting information by immediateness. Television worked close to this, but that only involved two of the senses, sight and sound. Once the computer interface become dominant, then one can trigger all of the senses.
Including smell.
Including sound, including touch, including all, you see.
This gets into what was talked about on the Evergreen tapes about the man in the year 2078, where people exchange recordings.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exchange experiences.
Yes. Would it be considered a worthwhile study to pursue the study of the effects of media as Marshall McLuhan advocates?
Yes, it would be profitable.
Okay, I have to stop it there and move it forward 3 minutes. In 45.
Is the study of the ideas of Gurdjieff recommended by the Evergreens?
Gurdjieff himself, yes. Would suggest read this, and also Blavatsky. But work to Gurdjieff as a point from which to depart, not a point in which you would stay immersed. Use that as a guidepost, but not a final destination would be the best description. Then look towards Blatsky.
You mean Blavatsky?
Yes. And then look towards... Gopi Krishna and the like.
Would this in any way relate to the study of the effects of media?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
That last bit, the answer was yes. I asked, does Gurdjieff relate to the study of the effects of the media? And I am Evergreen say yes. I clipped it there. So the next part is here. So we're now going to hear some parts of Michael giving his impressions, what he dreamt, so to speak, during the session. Okay, just a second.
Dan Van Fleet and Frank Zappa.
First thing when you say Frank Zappa, first thing comes into my mind is that this guy is not finished. Not by any way at all. Some of his fans are going to say that his music has changed too much for them to like. But he'll pick up more and more people who will like his music. He's going to turn much more into composition. Much more.
Why did he work? Why did he work in the pop medium?
Well, because he's very good at it, very good at it. But what he's learned, he's beginning to move into almost like a semi-classical. And somebody's going to say Frank Zappa does this. And he'll say yes, Frank Zappa does it, and does it very well too.
That turned out to be a very accurate prediction by Michael and. And Evergreen Zappa did in the 80s get more known for his working with classical orchestras, symphony orchestras. So that is December 6, 1980. Any comments?
All participants are now muted. All participants are now unmuted.
I don't think James is here. Anybody have any comments?
Hey, Bob.
Who's that? Who said, hey, Bob?
Oh, that was me, Leon.
Okay, you want to say something?
Not much, but I do like the recording so far, especially as he's talking about the computer and how... most people are starting to get really familiar with the new technology and kind of make it their true experience, not only in the sense of touch, visual, hearing, but smelling as well. So,
yep. 1980, people are getting word processors.
And Fastbook sounds like Facebook almost.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, that's a good point.
Yeah, all the sensories are operating at once instead of the TV. How much of the sensories are triggered from the TV? Because I know the eye definitely hears.
What was your first sentence? You said...
Sorry about that. The first sentence was like the... I believe it was like how the computer and more technology kind of picks up our senses, like more of the senses of not only like hearing, visual, but interaction. But
proprioceptive, kinetic,
yeah.
Proprioceptive, right, okay, so yes, more and more senses, the extension is becoming more comprehensive till it becomes a human being or a clone or robot, organic robot, robotoid.
Most definitely. And the thing about it is, like, how do human beings adapt, or not adapt, but evolve or change to this new technology? But then again, this is obsolete, so
Then again, what's obsolete? You're speaking too fast. You
sorry about that. The computer is obsolete.
For who?
For I guess it for future civilizations. I mean, I know that it should like eventually shrink down to maybe like a canned device eventually, and then hopefully phases out because there's really no need for peripheral devices.
Yeah. Unless you like playing with them.
Unless you like to play with them.
I don't think I have anything to say there. So I'm going.
I was going to add a quick point.
Yeah.
Just that the Evergreen said that the newer technology introduces or engages more of the senses, and that's sort of the case here with Ion and the drops and the completements. You went from, because the chip body can't engage the sense of smell or the sense of taste, and this technology has added to that.
Right.
Has added those senses.
What the Evergreens pointed out was that when people watch television, certain kinds of personalities, temperaments, or sensory mixtures, when they see some colorful thing in magazines or on TV, they will smell. They've got a bit of synesthesia going on. They will smell the smell. So even though we don't have smell-o-vision, Ion says that people do experience smell-o-vision by default.
It triggers that.
The way their senses work. So, television is one of the most comprehensive sensory interplay media. And it includes the interplay of electricity, so it is tactile. It's not the content is not tactile. The interplay is tactile, so television has that. So it's the first, one of the first powerful tactile mediums. Tactile media. So I'm going to go to, there's a short section in the next recording. I didn't do another recording for 5 years. I waited to see if the predictions or statements became validated. And when Mae Brussels, John Loftus was on 60 Minutes in May 1982, that was the beginning of the validation of the various points I was making. But it took 5 years before I had another session with the Evergreens, and in that session I split it with Deb, my lawyer, and with James Kidney, the guy who played the head of the Watchers. He had 20 minutes in this session. We each had 20 minutes. So I will bring up the next one.
The Evergreens are sessions for Michael Blakely.
And move it forward to the short part. I think we're talking about Europe, and I have a note, very poor quality. Go 2616. Still looking, still organizing.
Bob Fest was filmed before a live studio audience.
What was this?
Bob Fest. You're doing station identification while you're looking.
Right. Yeah. I didn't get it. Didn't hear it properly. Very good.
Oh, I said Bob Fest was filmed before a live studio audience.
Yes, it was. I remember.
Oh, yeah. I saw the, were you going to mute now?
No.
Oh, no, I was just going to,
go ahead.
Congratulate Bart. I was going to congratulate Bart for his website. I actually like it. I finally checked it out this morning, and that is really interactive.
Yep.
Hey, thanks, Bart, Leon. Do you need help to make it accessible for tablets and phones?
Who is that, Sarah?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, if you want, we can, I would say, we can talk in a bit about that, but the short answer is yes.
Okay, it would be Michael. He's really good at it, and analytics too, using search engine optimization and things like that, and he's been saying that he wants to help you with it, so I'll encourage him more.
Okay, yep. you can email me or something.
Definitely.
I don't want to interrupt you, Bob. Did you find it?
Are we waiting for someone, Sarah, or something? I'm waiting for you guys to finish.
No, no, I'm, that's...
It's done. Okay.
Please. Yep.
Great. All right, so everybody's finished talking. I will mute everybody. Well, let me just see. Is there anybody new here? Nope, nobody new. Okay.
All participants are now muted.
This is November 19th, 1985. It's the week that Reagan meets with Gorbachev in Iceland. And I think he releases the statement that the only threat to man now is extraterrestrial. I think that it's said on around this time or on November 19th. So that's what's happening in the world. The White House acknowledges ETs and makes a paranoid statement about it on the day of this session. Okay, so...
Is there a new superpower emerging in Europe?
There are attempts to move from the certain basic economic unions, but it is held thwarted with certain problems in that there is two oftentimes, as is evident, a power struggle between this and that. As far as an economic union, the one that has been enforced for the number of years is becoming more efficient within itself, and because of that would have a certain power within itself, especially into its regulatorinesses of those goods entering those countries. But at a higher level, as far as the governments are concerned, there is still that the continuance of autonomy. And as a result of this, there will be a continuance of fragmentation. Now, it would be more until 2005, 2010, before there would be more of a homogeny in this area.
Okay. What role would the European Parliament in Strasbourg have in this new superpower?
You see, the Parliament in Strasbourg, where is it now? Physically. It moves every 6 months.
I see.
It is not... You see, the reason it moves is because one country want to have it, another country want to have it, so therefore they move it physically. Everything moves, lock, stock, and barrel, every 6 months.
Okay.
And that, you see, is indicative of what we're suggesting to you.
Right. A lot of the fundamentalist group prophecy, they say, comes out of the Bible, that this superpower will consist of 10 nations and will be part of the Antichrist. Is this thing you see around 2010, it will be something like that? Will it be an ominous figure?
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay. Is there any truth in Dr. Peter's claim that Russia knocked out an American particle?
We're not going to go into that. Okay, so that's November 19th, 85. So, any comments on that?
All participants are now unmuted.
And the Iranians do say there's difficulties, which will happen later. That's an accurate prediction. It's not going to be so easy to keep it together. And then we now witness the last few years the collapse of the euro and all that. So, and he also says, is the beast going to come out of there? What did he say about the beast? He said no. Did he say no? Anybody notice that? Anybody going to say anything?
Hey, Bob. Sorry about that. I was on mute. I only heard, just bits of it, but not really. I didn't recognize the, what you call it? I heard you mention about the Reagan thing and the UFOs.
I didn't play anything on that.
No, you didn't, but you mentioned the... sorry about that. The interaction with the UFOs in Europe? Because Reagan wanted to... Or did you just mention that before you actually played the recording?
That's not where we just heard. You're talking about the other day? No. Okay.
No.
Yes, the beginning of the end of the Cold War is Reagan meets with Gorbachev.
Correct.
On this day, November 19th, 1985, I think. Very close. It was this day or the next day or that week. So this is my first time having a session 5 years later. And he makes a statement about the only threat to humanity now is the extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
I think he makes it at the Iceland conference around on this day or around it. So what are you asking about it?
Sorry about that. Maybe you took it the wrong way. But the extraterrestrials, what did he mean by that? What was was it just more in the sense of aliens or just...
Aliens,
something of foreign.
UFOs, aliens. He would if pressed, he'd have all kinds of alibis about what he meant. So we just take it as the words usually are referred to.
Yeah.
Ryan would not recommend.
Now, so did he initiate the Star Wars program?
Who, Reagan?
Yeah.
Yes, and Lynn LaRouche did that for Reagan.
Okay.
And also Edward Teller and Jack Sarfati may have had an influence through the Hoover Institution in San Francisco.
Now, who was Dr. Peter Beter was actually like trying to get this information out when Reagan hit the office, or was he already trying to?
He started in 1973 when he wrote a book, The Conspiracy Against the American Dollar. And he decided to start making audio tapes in 1974, 75. And he made about 80 of them, or 82. He stopped in 1982. So he went from 74 to 82 monthly recordings. There's about 80 of them, and they're very interesting. And he was talking on a more informed level than LaRouche or Mae Bressel.
Yeah.
He was intelligence itself, so he had more direct sources.
Yeah, because I think the only one I came across was the one he was mentioning about the Russian satellite that can pick up items without heat. Visual.
Is that recording on Furry Lind?
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be, because I was just going all over where I can find anything about Peter Beter, and then I actually did something on... Wikipedia, but I didn't want to get too deep in that. I just like the recordings, I think, that you found, but yeah.
Right. Well, I worked with Dr. Beter. I was part of his team, and you can read about that in the diaries, the various sort of main headlines that we told each other. You said something about Beter. You say you like the recordings. Yep, the recordings are good. I'm going to just try that, see if I can get a Reagan. So Reagan says the only threat to humanity. See if I get the date or that quote. What do you think that noise is? Just comes in every now and then. Letting off steam?
It could be. Who's all on the phone, or is everyone muted?
They're not muted. There's about four or five there. Matthew Rose.
I'm here. This is Bart.
Right. This is an article. Ronald Reagan's obsession with an alien invasion. What's that? Excerpted from UFO Universe, the September 1988 issue, is this article on Reagan, the reputed UFO encounter, and how that encounter may serve to explain his continued interest in UFOs.
What were the Evergreens saying about Blavatsky in there?
They recommended, I said, is Gurdjieff useful to read for studying the effects of media? And they said yes, and then they recommended Blavatsky, which became Blavatsky, and Gopi, the Gopi Guru, G-O-P-I. Don't remember his full name. Yep, so they're recommending the traditional theosophical line. But I was very good at saying, well, this is not for doctrine, for dogma, blah, blah, blah. He has a very precise statement about the purpose of reading those books.
Yes, they had enough steam.
Yeah. So I'm...
Hold on. How many times have you changed your phone, Bob?
Not that much. They go 7 or 8 hours, which they shouldn't, but they go a long time.
That's good.
Yeah. October was... I'm trying to do... Trying to find the Reagan quote. Well, here it is, 19... This little YouTube... Reagan's alien speech to the United Nations.
Perhaps we need some outside universal threat. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet I ask you, is not an alien force already among us? What could be more alien to the universal aspirations of our peoples than war and the threat of war?
So maybe they don't give a date of that UN speech, but that may be the quote I'm thinking of.
Wow, I never knew he actually said that out loud.
Right. You want to hear it again?
Sure, if you want to, Bob. That shit's crazy.
Yeah.
Perhaps we need some outside universal threat. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet, I ask you, is not an alien force already among us? What could be more alien to the universal aspirations of our peoples than war and the threat of war?
Okay, I'm getting any thoughts?
I thought that was incredible. I'm happy that we never took that too seriously, to heart, but yeah, it was crazy.
Well, that was the scheme. The Evergreens told me by 1990, and then I told Walter Boer that was the final purpose for the Pentagon, was to have a new enemy. And so they prepared to sort of increase the reality of aliens with the show X-Files. Bill O'Reilly was host of a show called Sightings. They did an occasional UFO special. So the media started to condition people to realize, no, there's probably aliens and they're probably going to kill us, so we better keep the Pentagon going.
All right, that's cool. I always thought it was more terrorists or, you know, anything that's threatening America's ideas, but I mean, you could say aliens does fall in that bracket too, but well, that's good. I mean, I know they're supposed to keep it kind of under wraps as much as possible, but that's what shocks me, that Reagan actually mentioned it out loud in front of people.
Yeah, that's the yin yang of his Zappa's composing, and he would suppress the yang maybe in the composition, and then when he's running for president, he'd be able to be a single person addressing people, and he would have that costume that Zappa had and have a place with his books collected, and then he could discuss things about them at this book launch or just book remembrance, because he didn't have a book until 1986 when I think the Rink had it, had the team that Reagan was part of, not Reagan, don't even remember. What was I saying?
You're talking about a book.
Right.
Is that correct?
I think. Better quickly get some more drops in me.
Yeah.
It's the starting in.
What?
Is it?
Oh.
Is it the start? No.
I got I got the date. Alien Code, September 21st, 1987. So that's a few weeks before Mad Tuesday, Black Tuesday, when the computers went on strike.
That's great.
Yeah, let me see. Ronald Reagan, United Nations General Assembly, September 21st, 1987. He says, can we and all nations not live in peace? In our obsession with antagonisms of the moment, we often forget how much unites all the members of humanity. Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. Yet I ask you, is not an alien force already among us? What could be more alien to the universal aspirations of our peoples than war and the threat of war? So that would be the Rockefeller faction complaining about the Pentagon Bolsheviks. And the Rockefellers, Lawrence Rockefeller, funded William Irwin Thompson, Terence McKenna, and he funded the church. No, Lawrence Rockefeller himself investigated UFOs, I think, during the Clinton administration, but may have started in the Bush administration. So here have the Rockefellers writing Reagan's speech against the Pentagon Bolsheviks, those that are in war and the threat of war involved in it. Right? Okay, guys, you got that?
We got it.
Yeah, you might have a different response to that same speech in the 50s, during Orson Welles' 50s.
Well, another factor, he was already under the influence of Wernher von Braun, and he said, our sun is one of 100 billion stars in our galaxy. Our galaxy is one of billions of galaxies populating the universe. It would be the height of presumption to think that we are the only living things in that enormous immensity. That is your head of the Project Paperclip, the Nazi legacy in the Pentagon, Wernher von Braun, which Pynchon makes a big deal out of in Gravity's Rainbow. Okay?
Yep.
Yes,
now,
sir.
We're coming up to a few minutes before, so we got to wait 5 minutes, so you guys can talk. You can talk... because we got to go over the top of this hour, so it's no point starting till we get past that. Would you like to hear? Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, Bob, you waited 5 years to have your second session with the Evergreens.
Yes.
Was it really based?
It was based on what they told me. Would it be hold up? Would it stand up? And I wanted to see whether... maybe Russell would hold up LaRouche, what they said about LaRouche, would that be validated? And then I'd say, yep, I already thought they're pretty good, but I wanted to just really make sure. And then 5 years later, I decided, yep, this is worth it. And I never looked back.
You are one patient guy.
That's right.
You're walking in the desert.
That's
all of a sudden, helper comes.
That was the perfect tone, wasn't it? That expressed patience or impatience being overcome, isn't it? The tone there.
Yep. I appreciate your comments. I'll talk to you again in a few years.
Yeah. I appreciate your interest.
We'll get back to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I waited 40 years. 1969. You know, I met Worcester, and that was pretty interesting. Rye, Return to the Plane of Essence. So I waited 40 years to see if that sentence meant anything.
And it beautifully bore itself out.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody have... Everybody's open, right? Nobody else has anything to say? What's with you people?
Oh, I was going to ask you. Oh,
no,
go ahead.
A few blocked. Yes, Ginny, she probably has something to say. Go
Sorry,
ahead,
Bob,
Leon.
I just
So I just popped in. Go ahead. What were you guys talking about?
Yeah, there's someone here, N, at 772-834. You show up every day, but you don't say anything. Are you going to say something to now? You're making noises. You got the little red vibration. This is your infiltrator.
You're nothing but a little red vibration.
Right.
No, I'm driving.
Oh, okay. Very good. Yeah, that's why there's always noise. That's why there's always noise in your sound mechanism. Right.
I can't, I'm driving right now. I'm just listening. I don't have anything to input.
Are you very familiar with us, or you just arrived this weekend?
No. I'm very familiar. Order RNA drops.
That tone. I noticed that tone there, you guys.
I'm very familiar. I've called
CIA,
into...
You're CIA.
No.
You've been assigned, yes, and you said yes.
No.
I'm very familiar, Bob.
That's old
volumes.
No. I'm trying to think what to say. I have everything. The RNA drops. I've called into the Carolyn show.
Oh, good.
And so I'm mainly in the health side of things.
Right. And you heard about our extravaganza, so you're learning about my part of it this weekend.
Well, I've listened to a lot of the Ion.
Oh, good.
But I don't feel I have anything to really say about the conversation right now.
Yeah, you're like me. I waited 5 years to decide whether the Evergreens had anything to say.
I'm just not familiar enough about it. I just, yeah.
Right. What does the N stand for in your name?
The N? My name is Nancy.
Right. There it is, N, Nancy. Because that's what I see.
Yeah.
I see an N.
Oh, yeah.
N. Well, there you go, Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome to lurk and evaluate your mind's impressions of this environment.
Oh, I love here. I love it all. I love it. It's just such a big area of knowledge.
That's right. You're lurking into a university workshop, university institute kind of thing.
And this
That's
is the first environment that loves you back.
Yes, we'd love you back. I have been in you, Nancy, and you have been in me.
If Bob doesn't explain it, it sounds dirty.
Yes, that's right. I like to make it sound dirty. Or rough.
I'm enjoying hearing everything, so it's very, very informative.
And you love Carolyn.
Yes.
We all love Carolyn. Yeah.
And I actually, with the RNA, with the magnesium and the RNA drops, I actually met with, my brain.
Jimmy?
No, the Matthew's wife.
Sabrina.
Sabrina, I'm sorry, I'm concentrating on driving here. I met with her over in St. Petersburg, Florida.
At the meeting, at the hotel.
Back.
At the hotel, was it?
No, not that. No, it was way before. It was probably 6 months ago or 8 months ago now.
Right, she goes down there. She's got friends or relatives or something down there.
Relatives, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I drove over and met with her. It was very nice.
Well, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we will back off. You can return to your car and continue traveling. We will get back in our police car and drive off in the other direction.
Well, thank you for asking me to speak.
Yes, I was trying to get you to speak yesterday.
Well, you know what it is? I'm carrying the phone with me and running around doing everything, and it's kind of the situation. I have to keep just trying to listen.
That's right. Well, I don't want you to get in the car accident, so you relax, and the interview is over.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you, Nancy.
You too.
Yes, and you can speak. When you're ready to speak, you'll speak.
Okay.
Okay, so that's there's Denny. I think Denny's 208. So is that it? So we will go to the next